Snapchat rallied on Friday, and that made for an excellent choice going into Snapchat on the Monday in the $1,000 challenge. The huge rally in Snapchat last week brought the $1,000 challenge back above 2x, back above 2,000, but much more than that, as it currently sits $2,784. We are getting close to the 3x on our journey to grow $1,000 as fast as we can. But it was not only Snap doing good, the entire market was doing good, especially driven by good Google results, bringing Nasdaq up 4.23% last week. You're listening to the StockInvest.us podcast, Trading Tips with Jim, and I will guide you through what I think will happen in the markets for the week ahead of us. Last week I told you I thought it would be a green week, gave you a few numbers. Market became a little better than I thought, but the high was there just like I thought. Will this week be the same? I'll try to argue why not? And at the end of the podcast, we will get back to the $1,000 challenge, and I will tell you whether I sit in Snap still or Snap was sold on Friday. So you just have to stay tuned. But let's look back at the previous week. I told you I thought it would be a green week. I argued why, because markets was oversold, etc., etc. I said I thought Nasdaq could go as high as 15,800. That was my guess, that it would go high. And then I said I was a bit short and thought it would have a small, slight correction down, maybe ending 15,400. But Nasdaq did better than that. It went up to 5,900, which was close on Friday, to be exact, 15,928 points. And that made for 646 points gain, or 4.23%, to be exact. So Nasdaq took out the potential. The huge drive in Nasdaq is mainly because of Google moving more than 10%, and Google being such a big part of the index made for the index moving. Not all stocks were moving this good. Dow Jones had a good week as well, not like Nasdaq, but up 0.67% for the Dow Jones. The bigger question is, so what will happen in the week ahead of us? Last week, I focused on the quarter results. I told you these could drive the market. And by the end of the week was the inflation numbers. And I said I thought they would become a little on the upper end. And they did. And that will be the main focus again this week, along with more quarter results. As we speak, I think 47% of the quarter results are in already for the Nasdaq index. And I think I saw or read somewhere that in general, the quarter's results have come in 3.5% on the profit, being better than the expected 2.5%. So in general, the big companies are still providing a good profit, and that makes, of course, the market very happy. And why you can read articles like new boom coming into AI after AI had a huge hype and then being cut a little bit, people taking profit levels, pushing AI a little bit back, and now they argue that it will just continue because Google, among others, show that there is money to be made in AI. Meta, for instance, was hammered. Quarter results was super, but their statements argued for more stress related to income in the future, and the stock was hammered. These, as I said, these things will come, and the thing is about the profit margins. I've been telling this over and over again in the podcast, what happens with inflation. Inflation can only be offset on the end consumer to a certain amount. After that, you will have to take it on your profit margins. So the first things that happen when inflations go up is that you start to put the extra cost on the end consumer. At some point, end consumer is saying it's too expensive, start to reduce their buys. And what you usually do then is diminish the quality. And here you have the words like shrinkflation, etc. Where packages where you before could buy like 2 liters of Coca-Cola or whatever it was for a certain price, they just shrink the bottle to 1.75 liters, keep the same price. That is called shrinkflation. And I think Biden was arguing why that is bad, but he argues a lot about different things. But it's just an understanding that businesses, they will have to maintain their profit margins. They cannot run into the red. And if they start to drop their profit margins, some has some leverage, meaning they have quite good profit margins, so they can handle some cuts in the profit margin. But if you're not able to deliver profits, investors will turn their back on you. You will get harder access to capital. It's a vicious cycle. So you have to remain your profitability. Profitability is a healthy sign, by the way. Now, you're not able to offset more on the end users. You cannot pay more for your gasoline. You cannot pay more for your gas, for your food, etc., etc. The restaurant bill is starting to get high enough. So they start with shrinkflation. The portions get lower and lower. And at the same time, they have to start to cut into profit margins. But so far, it's not showing really off on the quarter results yet. But I saw a few of the quarter results and they are mentioning exactly what I'm saying, that the profit margins are under pressure. And now this week we will head into May, where you usually stay when May comes, go away. Will it be true? I don't know. Many interesting quarter results coming up this week. But on Wednesday, Fed will again speak about what they think about inflation. And this is not a commercial for this podcast. This is just a fact. You heard me say over and over again that inflation will not go any way soon. When they were talking about transitory inflation, I told it was just a lot of bullshit. Argued why and why inflation just would creep upwards, and it did, and inflation is not going to stay. And all these rate cuts, which they promised, was also a load of bullshit. Anyone with that can put more than one together knew that it was going to be extremely hard. The main driver of all of these things is energy cost. As long as the energy cost keeps being high, it will be very, very hard to get inflation down, because energy goes into absolutely everything, and especially in this case, the oil price. As long as the oil price keeps being high, money being poured into the economy, money printing is still going red hot, there will be a push. That push will just lead to higher prices. And at some point, everything just slowly start to collapse, because there's no more money to be printed. And you reach the level where the prices increase too much. Inflation, interest rates, everything goes too high and the end consumer cannot handle it, and you get the end consumer collapse. Have happened several times before. We are heading in exactly that direction. You can read about credit card debt among people between 40 and 60, which usually are a very liquid group, and how credit card now is the main driver of their spendings. Back to the more important things. So there will be Fed talks on Wednesday, and everyone now expects that Fed will say that, okay, sorry, we cannot reduce interest rates yet because inflation is too high. And here comes the thing. Slowly, I think that you will hear Fed say that we might have to prepare for increasing the interest rates to get things under control. That will be a hammock for the stock market. Stock markets are staying strong despite interest rates being high and despite interest rates not being cut. But Everything is currently balancing at the limit. Very, very small things, and the market will tank. One Discord user asked if we are in a bear market, and it's a very, very good question. Very good question. What I told you, the correction that we have now is totally natural. What will be interesting to see is if we are able to go up above previous high. Previous high is 16,400 points for Nasdaq. Will we be able to push above this level? Because if we push above this level, anything related to bear market will be crushed. But if we stop under this point, continues sideways, or even start to fall, you have all the indications of a bear market building up. My guess is actually that we will head for a bear market. I think I argued for that last week as well. I think markets will push upwards. It seems to me like they will push a little bit more because there are quite interesting quarter results coming this week. So that can push the markets up to maybe even about 16,300-16,400. We will see. But it again will have a correction. If you love technical analysis, you know that I do, and you can look at the relative strength index of Nasdaq. You will see that it's building up from a very low position. It can still go a little bit up, and that argues for more short-term upturn in Nasdaq. And you can hear more of this slowly getting to a conclusion about the week. But first, let's look at which quarter results will come this week. And I will tell you how the signals are for the week ahead of us, the buy and the sell signals. Now, so the main events is Wednesday. Especially Wednesday will be very, very critical for markets. You can expect to see huge movements. Last week I told you I expect a volatile week, and it was a volatile week indeed. Markets moving a lot up and down during intraday, pushing upwards. This week we will start with Avis, Czech, Domino Pizza, interesting case Domino Pizza, Logitech, Paramount, Philips, and Sofie Technologies will be some of these coming today on Monday with quarter results. Following up tomorrow, here are some of the real big hitters. Amazon, AMD will come. Coca-Cola will come, and Coca-Cola is very often referred to when it relates to inflation because it's directly to consumer, to the end consumer. So you can see a little bit in Coca-Cola results how inflation is affecting the population. Eli Lilly, McDonald's, Pinterest, PayPal, Riot Platforms, Supermicro Computers, Starbucks, and 3M's will also be on Tuesday. So we can see on Tuesday coming in some of the main hitters, and they have the potential, all of them, to shake the market in one direction. I don't think any of the ones today has it, but Tuesday for sure has it. Wednesday there will be the Fed meeting, the Fed talks, the Fed minutes, as they say, and that will be very interesting. On top of this, we will have Canvas, Denver Energy, will Etsy, Kraft Heinz, again the company that will show how inflation is affecting the buying power. MasterCard, Norwegian Cruise Line, Pfizer, Qualcomm, Wingstop, to mention some. On Thursday, we continue, and again, more and more big companies, Apple, Block, Coinbase will come, ConocoPhillips, DraftKings, Expedia, Moderna, Novo Nordic, Peloton are some of the companies on Thursday, along with job numbers. Job numbers is again getting very interesting, and we'll get back to that more because I think job numbers will be the one talking point in the fall. So that's my long-term prediction, is by fall, the eyes will be on the job number. Friday, not too many quarter results coming. Hershey and Fubo TV is two of them. But you will have economic numbers, the work numbers, work hour numbers will come out, etc. About work numbers, we know that in general, people has more jobs than ever to pay for their bills. They have to have both two and three jobs in average now to keep up with the living cost. 14 minutes into the podcast, and I promised to tell you the quarter results, and then we will just say exactly what we think about the week ahead of us. But if you look, about the signals. Now, if we look at the signals, we can say that across all the tickers that we analyze, 29% is giving a buy signal, up from 21% last week. That pushes the entire market, not at the high end, but it's getting to a stable place where that obvious buying opportunity is getting less. Nasdaq up from 13%, very low last week. I told you that was typically a buying place, and I argued how you can use this when you trade to reduce your risk, to increase your chances of success, etc. Now sitting at 19, that is still a bit low, indicating potential more upside. Going to New York Stock Exchange, 27%. We see that that is already getting to normalized levels. London, 34. Frankfurt, 37. These are all slowly getting up to the higher end. While Tokyo, 27. And Shenzhen, China, 24. Summing up these signals, so what do they mean? They mean that, and we look at the direction going from last week, numbers are increasing, meaning that we have some momentum in the back, meaning that in general, we should most likely see at least an attempt to have a positive start on the week. And given development in the markets, development in the news, and I just gave you the quarter results that will come, Tuesday have big chance of affecting the market hard, Wednesday for sure with the Fed talks. So these are how you can see the market coming in with a little momentum in the back. And this momentum can either be pushed, continued, meaning building up for a very, very strong week if the numbers come in the right direction and the Fed talks are considered to be positive. If any of these things are negative, we already have a little bit higher buy signals. You can expect markets to slowly start securing profits. They are not so high that we are at scary levels where you can have huge, huge drops. But I would not be surprised if we by some time of the week start to see where things are getting very mature and there is not much more to take out. Before heading to the $1,000 challenge, here is my prediction for the week. Last week I told you I thought it would be a green week. That was maybe the headline of the podcast as well. I think we are heading with a good possibility for a green week. I do not think it will be like last week, which was up more than 4% for Nasdaq. I think we are far away from that in the coming week. Intra week, we can be higher. We can go very nicely during intraday or even intra week. But I think we will start to see some struggle. But by the end of the week, I still think that we will be slightly in green. So I hold the button on a green week. I think that overall it will be somewhat okay for most stocks. Again, we will have huge movements individually. It will for sure be a good place to be if you are in the right stock, just like we saw in Snapchat. Now, another question I got. So when will you start to increase the amount you have invested into the stock market? Because I told you I have been reducing my parts. Now you said last week that it's a buying opportunity. Why don't you invest more of your capital in the market? Well, this is a natural correction up. I did a slight adjustment, but I didn't add much to the stock market still because I don't see that huge, huge upside. I don't want to be sitting with the risk. Because given the right circumstances where we are now, we have previous top, we have quite many tops around 16,400. And looking at the long-term chart, etc., everything is indicating there is a fair chance that markets will have a correction downwards. I don't want to sit in a very exposed position. I have diversified my money. They are in different items, as you know. And I want to continue this. When I see a huge buying opportunity in the market, I will let you know, like I have done in all these years. When I see that huge buying opportunity where you just can empty your bank account straight into the stock market because there is such a huge upside. Now, I want to be a bit careful. There is too much geopolitical issues coming still. And if you just look at the amount of geopolitical issues that are, we know that the world is more unstable than it has been for decades. And coming as we move forward, a lot of things argue why we might get into even more tension. And that thing can be bad for the market. You will hear more and more world leaders talk about war economy. They will argue why they have to print money. They will argue why they do this and that. And they will say it's because their economy is getting into war economy. And that will sum up this part before moving to the $1,000 challenge. What does this mean for you? As I said before, I believe war-related items is where you should have a part of your portfolio. I have it. Such a good gains so far in many of the war stocks. I just think they will continue. And if I'm correct, that market will have a correction backwards. Now, then I think war stocks will keep quite good up, because right now it is the only thing that the politicians are thinking about. How much money can we put into the war industry? How bad can we make these things go? And as long as they're thinking this way and they're not arguing for peace in any way, well, then money will still flow into war industry. So anything related to war industry or war-related production is, in my opinion, much safer and better place to be than most other things. Moving up from that depressive thought into the $1,000 challenge and the last few minutes of the podcast. Now, last week I told you I think there is a fair chance that Snap will do good. I argued why, and I told you because I think quarter results have a fair chance of being good, because advertising market's been good because of the TikTok ban, etc. And lucky or not, that was exactly what happened. Snapchat rocketed. I got in Snapchat at $10.99. I think it was lower, but we cannot always hit that very best bottom. Not much happening during week. It was up on, was it Monday or was it the Tuesday? It was up, then falling back on the Wednesday or something like this. So it went from good choice to some choice. And then starting, I think it was after Google results, it started to show some positive signs. And of course, on Friday, then had a very, very good day. Ending the week at $14.55 or up 32.39% since I bought it. It was higher, I think, maybe even close to 15. Actually, now, do I sit? Or am I out of Snapchat? Well, I am in Snapchat still and running a trailing stop loss. If Snap, for some reason, has a red day today, and that may very well happen, it had a very, very strong upturn on Friday. So it's natural if it has a reaction down now and people start to secure the profits, etc. Late comers into the stock, they will try to reduce their losses if they bought at almost $15. So they will start to secure and reduce their losses. They can get some sell pressure. May very well happen, and it may be that my 32.39% will end up being less. But no matter what happens, I will be in a very nice profit in Snapchat. That brings a natural question. So why didn't you sell at almost 15, 1480 or 1490 or whatever it was? Why didn't you just sell it and take that huge profit when it was above 14%? The thing is that nobody knows where things will end. Snapchat may just do like Meta. And if you remember back 2 years, 3 years, I don't remember, start to become years, these things. Snapchat had a brutal fall of their quarter results. Exactly the same case. They didn't make that much money on earnings, and they were spending way too much on the virtual products. Metal was hammered, falling all the way to 90. And I told you, buy for whatever you have because this is a lifetime opportunity. Meta went from 90 to 300 and back to all-time high. Will it happen with Snapchat? Is this the same case? Not necessarily, but there is a fair chance that Snapchat will continue upwards. Have to remember, Snapchat has been hammered. Hammered was up at 60-70 or something, was taken fairly down. If investors now believe there is an upside in Snapchat, that they will regain more advertising money, that they will read all the quarter results 10 times over to see what they think, because big institutions want to put in their money. If they think there is more upside in Snap, the buying will continue, the pressure will be upwards, the stock might move upwards. So that chance is very, very present. I hope it will be the case that it will continue upwards. I will let the trailing stop loss tell the tale. We'll just see how it will end. If I'm lucky, it will just continue upwards. If not, I will still secure a very, very strong profit in Snapchat. So still sitting in Snapchat means that I will not look for a candidate this week. I will tell you next week what happens. Sometimes I will post on YouTube version when I actually sell this stock. I will always post when I buy the stock. And maybe I'll just post if I sell Snap during the week so you can see what level it was sold on. Anyway, I'll inform you in the next podcast. That made for today's podcast. Not much more to say. I wanted to give a slight lesson in why you want to let runners run and cut your losses, but we've been speaking too much, I feel, about all these things. If you're a new listener, well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you're one of my regular listeners, I hope that you enjoyed the episode as well. Start to become a lot of repetition of different things. I can even feel it myself. We'll see if we can change format once again, come up with something a little bit more giving, not easy every Monday to share big news or big new ideas or even teach, because it tends to be the same. Use stop loss. It's one of the best tips and tricks I can give to you. Ending the podcast, I will just do a slight commercial for StockInvest. Remember, at StockInvest, you will find tons and tons of tools. Also regarding the quarter results, you can see reports showing how stocks move before, during, and after the quarter results. And this is very, very important because these are highly tradable. I know many of you are trading despite you shouldn't do. You should be more relaxed. You should have a different strategy. You cannot wait. You are sitting with calls and puts, and you are doing fractional trading and all sorts of things when you should have a little bit different approach, and most of you are losing money. Sorry, that's the name of the trading game. All of you want to be better. Some of you are already better. I know a few of you listeners are even way better than I am in trading. But in general, you want to reduce your losses, you want to increase your gains, and information is such. The thing about before, during, after, and you being addicted to trading is, well, if you want to increase your chances, at least have a look at how the stock previously has been doing the days before quarter results, the day on the quarter results, and after quarter results, because it will give you a slight idea. It's better than throwing the arrow blind. Read up on the news, the expectations ahead. Put two and two together. You heard me argue that I believe advertising in Snap will be better. Snap didn't say anything about that prior to the quarter results, but we knew this from the longer lines. If you follow bigger companies like Meta and other, they were saying that advertising is increasing. Snapchat has most of the income from advertising, so it was just easy math. That makes for the end of the podcast. I hope you will have the best week you ever had, and that will begin to the end of the week. Your portfolio will be magically Spain. And of course, I hope that we will be back next week. Until then, just have a super week.
Welcome to StockInvest.us Stock Analysis. We remind you that trading involves a high risk of losing money, and that you should speak with a financial advisor before buying or selling any securities. You should not base your investment decision upon StockInvest.us. By using the information, you agree and are held liable for your own investment decisions.